Hello, Grinders, and welcome to the Fantasy Fix Podcast. I am your host, Travis Mangone, here with a solo pod for you guys. You're probably wondering, hey, why is Travis here during the week? We got no DFS. That's not true, folks. We got WNBA DFS. And, I've been writing some articles over here at Roto Grinders and asked DB if I could hop on and talk about WNBA a little bit for you guys. I did a pretty big write-up on the main site, so you can check it out on my Twitter, at Travis Mangone, or check it out on the Roto Grinders homepage and give it a read. So yeah, check that out over there, or you can listen to this. I figured I'd do a podcast version too, kind of talk about the slate a little bit, maybe even get a little more in depth on some things on the podcast instead, and just talk about the plays and, you know, what could be a good play, what could be a bad play, and how to kind of attack this slate. The key with this slate is we have some big prize pools over here at FanDuel and DraftKings. We have a $6 tournament, 25K to first, and we have a $5 tournament, 25K to first. I mean, these are big prize pools. I'm sure everyone's going to want to get in on them, and we're playing for first over here, guys. I'm not really playing any cash games or anything like that. I'm playing for that monster prize pool, and I think you guys should too. Get some action in, dabble in it, and have a good time. The games start at Wednesday at noon Eastern time, so for you guys on the West Coast, 9 a.m., so you guys better be ready for that. But we get a sweat all day long. There's a game at noon, game at 12:30, other game is, I think, an afternoon game, and then we have a 10 p.m. game, so we got sweats all day long, so that'll be fun, something that we can really enjoy on the Wednesday slate without any other sports going on. So how about we dive right into the slate and talk about it a little bit. So it's a four-game slate. Normally WNBA slates are normally they are two or three-game slates, but we have a four-game slate. These are rare, so these are nice. Just a lot of different variety maybe we can get. Sometimes with, you know, the two-game slates, there's not a lot of difference in ownerships, right, between, like, two stud plays. One of them is going to be 70% owned, the other is going to be 50%. So that's something I normally like to stress is pick the guys you like and stick with them. I know ownership does matter, but, again, it's about the full construction of the ownership, right? So just be on the lookout for that. But I'm going to give a game-by-game breakdown here. We have no Vegas lines up yet, but I have an idea with the paces and whatnot of how the which games will be have a higher total. But let's get started with the first game. The first game we have on this slate, we have San Antonio at Indiana. I think this will be the lowest total. That's my prediction. We have two teams that are pretty slow pace in the league. Stars, I wrote it up here. The Stars are at third in the league, and then the third worst in the league, and Indiana's pace is, they're pretty low. I think they're the slowest pace, but they're both in the bottom three around there. Can't remember which one's which off the top of my head right now, but they're both very slow-paced teams, so not expecting a ton of DFS plays that I want from this game. The key is there's value here, right? Mariah Jefferson is going to be out, so that's where I start getting more interested in this game. If Mariah Jefferson was in, the interest would get lower and lower. So she's in concussion protocol. There's a chance she plays, right? There's very limited news in WNBA, something you have to keep in mind of. And this is the first game of the day, so just be on the lookout. Look on Twitter. You know, do your own Twitter search, Mariah Jefferson, and it should pop up the second that the news is out. Hopefully, we get it before tip at noon, but I'm just operating under that she's out. Concussion protocol is a thing that we know can take some time. So I'm just operating that she's out and going to kind of work off of that and, basically think about it as that being the perspective. And hopefully we get the news early on. But anyways, for me, with Mariah Jefferson out, Kelsey Plum is my top value on this game. I mean, it's just, she's way too cheap. I get it, right? 3,400 is a very cheap value, and she hasn't been the greatest. She was the number one pick overall in the draft. Since Monique Curry got traded, she has been doing well. She's getting 22 minutes, 23 minutes, 26 minutes, and averaging in like the mid-teens in production. And even in that game against Phoenix, where she had 26 minutes, she had a 30% usage, and that was the first game that Mariah Jefferson missed. The Connecticut and Chicago game, Jefferson was did play in those games, and those were games where Monique Curry wasn't there. So with Curry getting traded and Jefferson not being there, I mean, Plum has really taken a big jump up. And for 3,400, I really like her as a really good value play. Also, Alex Montgomery, she's someone else to consider too. Alex Montgomery kind of had an outlier game the first game that Curry was out, when she was kind of becoming a value. She had an outlier game where she had 10 rebounds, which is just insane for her. That's just not like her at all. So essentially, I like Alex Montgomery, right? She's 4,700 on DraftKings compared to Plum, who is 4,100. I think Alex Montgomery is another good value, but and she's 4,300 on FanDuel, but Alex Montgomery is a value that I like, but I think I'd go with the cheaper Plum instead. That's just my my personal preference, but I'm sure I'm going to have exposure to both. That's just kind of how I'm looking at the two of them at this point. Moving on, I think like another guard to look at is Kayla McBride. McBride is someone that had a really good year last year and worked really well with Mariah Jefferson, and she hasn't taken off like I thought. I mean, she's had some consistent games in like the 20s, but she hasn't. I thought she'd maybe take a higher, you know, more of a bigger step this year. But anyways, McBride is a girl that she leads the team in field goal attempts at 12.7. She also leads the team in usage. She's one of the higher team in usage at 22.9. It's really close for some of these girls, but 22.9 is a pretty high usage for her. And, you know, she's averaging right now on the season, she's averaging 26.53 DK points, 24.31 FanDuel points. I think on FanDuel for 5,300, I definitely have a lot of interest in her at that tag as maybe a nice pivot, but I prefer the values instead. If I had to pick which stars guards I want, I'd rather get the values in. It seems like my builds so far are going through building a lot of value guards and then jamming in some forward studs. That's currently how my build is going. But again, I want to get exposure to a bunch of these different plays. But yeah, Kayla McBride is someone I think you can consider as a pivot off those girls. Maybe McBride really gets most of the does most of the damage, and then those values maybe they kind of bust a little bit. You never know. But I like those values. I think Plum is my top value if I had to pick of the guards and just in this game in general. Then there's Isabella Harrison. She's a really interesting play. She's only 6,900 on DK in a price tier with a bunch of other forwards. I kind of like her a lot, mainly as someone just you only worry about in these tournaments because the upside is absolutely insane. On FanDuel, she has nice upside too. She is only 5,700. She's next to another person like Breland who can have crazy upside. But again, the downside is there too. Not a nice floor. You know, just I'll read you Isabel Harrison's game logs. I mean, they can be rough. 12.1, 7.4, 41, 31.8, 20.2, 17.2, 11.6, 42.6, 13.8, 50. I mean, she has 40-point upside, and you can't say many people have 40-point upside in the WNBA, especially at these price tiers. Man, like Isabella Harrison is someone that I'll be sprinkling in my lineups. I'm not, you know, backing it, and I'm not saying, hey, go 100% or anything. I think that's not a good idea. But I think she's someone that you want to sprinkle on your rosters. And you have to understand that there is some risk with her. And also a matchup against Indiana, I think it's a good matchup for her. I think she can definitely thrive in this position. And it's going to be like more of a slower paced game. She's kind of a back to the basket, has a decent jumper, you know, can do like the sky hook over people. And the rebounds won't be as much there, right? I mean, there'll be rebounds, obviously, but the not as much opportunity with the slower pace compared to other games where there's a faster pace where there's obviously more chances for rebounds, right? But I think Harrison is a good play in this spot. I'll be sprinkling in my tournaments. The question is, will I be overweight or underweight or even with the field? I don't know yet. But again, I just want to like kind of express like she's one of those girls that she can just go bonkers on a slate. And if you don't have her, you lose. It's just that simple. But she can also has a very low floor. So it depends on where depends on what I think the industry is going to do with her. Coming off two bad games, that could definitely help out. So, you know, that could help maybe drive down the ownership, which is nice. But moving on, that's kind of the star side of the ball. There's not a lot of other players I really am dying to play. I get people may say, oh, D'Arcy Hamby, maybe her. She has like decent usage, but a lot of these girls I'm just passing on. I think those are mainly the stars that I'm going to look at from San Antonio. Those are mainly the ones to really target on and key in on, because sometimes when people build their rosters, they might take some of these people like D'Arcy Hamby and who's the other one down here? You know, Kayla Alexander or Sequoia Holmes. People might put these in just because they fit their last spot and they're just not that great of play. So I'll let other people make the mistakes and just kind of avoid those on my rosters. Moving on, let's head over to the Indiana side of the ball. Indiana is a team I'm definitely not in love with on this slate. Candace Dupree, I mean, She is just steady Eddie, gets you, gets you around like 20 to 30 fantasy points. If you like it for the tag, go for it. Doesn't have that huge upside like someone like a Harrison does, right? But for 5,800, sometimes I don't mind in like your construction, locking in someone at like a decent price tag and just getting, hey, I'm going to get, you know, in the mid 20s in fantasy points, and I'll take that and walk away. But Dupree is not someone I'm going to be heavily targeting. Like 9,100 on DraftKings, I'm not super in love with her there. I don't think she's a bad play, but on FanDuel 2,5800, like I said, I just don't see a lot of I think she's a good play, but I don't see like her as like a value or anything like that. I think she's a decent play, but there's other people I'd rather play. Like for instance on FanDuel, I think pivoting to like Glory Johnson's a good idea for only 400 more. I think she just has a lot more upside. But Dupree, she's one that can easily, you know, she's going to give you probably around in the 20s in fantasy points. And if you like that in your construction and it fits right, go right ahead. But I worry about the upside in a matchup against the star slower pace game. So moving on to the guards. So Atlanta kind of has a plethora of guards that they like to throw out that have, are at different price tiers and can do a bunch of different things. So looking at the guards, Erica Wheeler, she's kind of like the consistent one, has a pretty high usage on the team. She's someone I'm definitely considering, but at that price tag, I think there's other people I would rather roster. I don't know if I'm definitely going to be going there with her. Shanice Johnson, she's someone that has flashed some pretty big upside, but also some downside. So she's someone that can definitely dud. And in this matchup, I don't think I'm going to be going over to Shanice Johnson here a ton. I kind of like going to Tiffany Mitchell. She has a pretty large usage on the team, and she's only $3,900 on FanDuel. So that's a decent value with some upside in tournaments. So I don't mind that. Mitchell's also 6K on DraftKings. So at that price tag, I think there is some profit potentiability. I really like her more so on FanDuel. I think that's where she is more of a better play in tournaments. So I'm going to have some interest in her for sure. Brand January is someone I'm going to definitely stay away from, not getting any exposure to. She's lost some minutes, really struggled lately, and she's just not getting the usage that I would prefer. I'd rather just go Tiffany Mitchell for 100 less on FanDuel. Again, Tiffany Mitchell has struggled a bit, right? The last couple games hasn't really been playing so well, but maybe people stay away from her because of that. And she's shown some upside. She's someone, I'm not going to go heavily on, I think. I'd probably prefer, the Plums and some of the other value guards that I might, that we'll get to. But I think she's someone I definitely want to sprinkle in. I think she's like if I had to pick one Indiana guard from a point per dollar perspective, it's Tiffany Mitchell. She's going to be the one that I would take. Let's head over to the next game. We head over to Dallas at Chicago. We'll start with the Dallas side of the ball. So Dallas is really interesting. This is a game that's going to have a very, very high, not very, very high total, but it's going to be a fast-paced game. So I expect a lot of DFS goodness in this game. One thing about Dallas is their guards. I have a lot of interest in their guards in this game. They have a great fantasy matchup against Chicago, who's allowing the most fantasy points per minute to guards at 0.83. These Dallas guards are guards that I've been getting exposure to all year, have really been riding out and have been doing me well. The problem is, like I kind of said, my construction so far has been just kind of going for cheaper guards and then trying to get in the higher end forwards. But Skylar Diggins-Smith, I really want to play her for 7,300. I mean, she has just been really good this year. 7,300 is a high price tag, but just listen to these game logs. I mean, they're great. 34.9, 45.5, 23.6, 29.1, 43.1, 27.4, 36.4. I mean, she's one of the guards that can really get you into the 40 fantasy points. So she's someone I'm going to be considering. And I also think a lot of people will be looking at these guards and really going for the value there instead. And that might give you a different roster construction, starting with a Skylar Diggins-Smith. So it's someone to definitely consider and have her on your radar. I think she's a really good play in a matchup against Chicago. I also like Alicia Gray. And you can feel free to play them both together too, on top of that. I had someone ask me the other day, hey, can you play these two together? Yeah, you can. I mean, Diggins had 34.9 and then 45.5 in the last two games. And then Gray went for 27.5 and 28.8. And those are great production at the price tags they're at. So You can play both them on the same team if you want. Go right ahead. That can maybe help you be different with your construction. But Alicia Gray, I like her a lot. She's 5,300 on FanDuel. She's another guard that I'm definitely going to be looking at rostering on the slate. She's won Rookie of the Month last month. You know, she's just been really starting to get a lot more production and is really, really shined, getting, you know, steady 30 fantasy getting a steady 30 minutes a game and just really crushing, getting in like the mid to high 20s every night, low 30s. She's just been, ever since they kind of gave her more of a role in the offense, she has been doing very well for them. So she's someone I like. I like her at 7,700 on DraftKings too. Also like Diggins Smith at 11,400, but that price tag's expensive. But kind of like what I'm saying is it might give you a different construction, and that could be key in some of these tournaments. So like it's a high price tag on Diggins Smith. I understand that, and it can be tough to click, but that's just a way to be different with your build. So just wanted to kind of note that. But I really like Alicia Gray. I'd probably prefer her the most just because she's cheaper, and I normally tend to try and get to cheaper options so I can jam in these stud forwards. That's normally how my construction ends up, and that's just how I am. But I definitely am trying to go out of my way to, you know, get Diggins Smith on my teams as well. I also like Karina Christmas Kelly. If you want to go cheaper at guard for her, I don't hate doing that, but there is some volatility there. But she has flashed upside in the past. Can get you 30 fantasy points for a cheaper price tag. She can do that, but for me, Alicia Gray is like definitely the safer option and the one I feel more confident in if I had to pick from a point per dollar perspective. But, you know, Diggins Smith leads the league in minutes. She's a monster, too. So all these three guards I have interest in. Definitely Diggins Smith and Gray, my 1A, 1B, and then we got Christmas Kelly behind them. Moving on, let's head over to the forward position. So there's some forwards to definitely consider on Dallas in a matchup against Chicago, where I think that they can definitely thrive against Chicago. Not the greatest rebounding team. Glory Johnson is someone that I have interest in. Glory Johnson, more so on FanDuel than DraftKings. DraftKings, I would definitely consider playing her for 10,500, but I really like her on FanDuel. She's 10,500 on DraftKings, where Elizabeth Smith Williams is 8,600. And then on FanDuel, Glory Johnson is 6,200 and Elizabeth Williams is 5,800. So it's only 400 more for Glory Johnson. And she just shows a lot more upside. And Elizabeth Williams has really been smashing lately, and mainly due to Sancho Little being out. Elizabeth Williams is a good play. She's always very consistent, but she normally doesn't show upside like she has recently. And I think people will game log chase that. And instead, I'll go over to someone like Glory Johnson, who can actually hit 40 fantasy points, right? She's done it three times this year. She's coming off of two games where she had 21.6 and 24.9. And then, you know, she's just someone who has more upside than Elizabeth Williams. And Elizabeth Williams was definitely, has definitely gotten a higher price tag now. So you're buying her at a high price. Glory Johnson, you're buying low on compared to where she has been. I just think Glory Johnson is the better tournament play, no matter what the results end up being. I think she's the better tournament play on the slate. And I like her matchup against Chicago as well. Next one up is Teresa Pleasance. She's someone who... her price tag has been climbing a little bit. She used to be really cheap. I kind of missed out on her in those games where she got the 30 fantasy points. And she early on in the year, she was struggling a bit. They weren't giving her tons of minutes. I think because it was due to an injury. Can't remember. But she wasn't getting a ton of minutes, and now she's getting a lot more minutes. I think she's a decent value. I might mix her in, but I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do with her 100% yet. But she's someone that's a candidate to consider rostering for me. And then some of these other plays like a Kayla Thornton, a Courtney Paris, I just don't think I'm going that route on this slate. Those are just options I don't think I need to be playing. I think there's better value around. It's not like I have to make up value on a slate like this. But yeah, let's head over to the Chicago side of the ball. Yeah, so Chicago's a really interesting team. Cappy Pondexter is supposed to be out, similar like Mariah Jefferson, concussion protocol, right? So with her being in the concussion protocol, granted, there's a chance she plays. She had a tweet that she sent out. Let me pull the tweet up now. She said, thank you all for the 4 hours ago. She said, thank you all for the thoughts and prayers. Almost there and can't wait to rejoin my team. I truly miss the game and competing. Kind of stinks because this is a 12:30 game. I don't know if we'll get the news in time. Hopefully we do get the news in time. So be on the lookout tomorrow morning. I'm assuming if news drops, that's when we'll get it. But So, Cappy Pondexter, if she plays, she will have no ownership, which would be great. I would love to get on her if that's the case. Just to put this in perspective, they had Stephanie Dolson ruled out all day, and she was like had a sickness, but there was she played like she had a sickness, then she played the next game, and then the game after, they still had her ruled out for the sickness, and it made no sense. And I just kept looking for sources on it, and I was confused, and I was like, I'm just gonna play some Dolson shares because I feel like she's gonna play. So I did play some Dolson shares. She didn't smash or anything like that, but I got her at 4.7% on it was either a 2 or 3 game slate, which is just fantastic to get 4.7% on a play like Dolson, who basically she leads the team in FanDuel points up. This year, so an average FanDuel point. So she's someone I definitely want to be considering for sure, because Kapi Pondexter won't have any ownership. So if she ends up playing, she won't have any ownership. If she's still ruled out, I wouldn't take a chance on it, but I would wait to see if you can get the news, because I really think that Kapi Pondexter. If you told me I had to guess and bet on it, it's a concussion. They don't really mess around with those unless they're totally clear by the doctor. So I'm just going to go under. I'm just going to go under the idea that she's not playing, just like Mariah Jefferson. I just thought it was worth noting that there could be a giant ownership play on someone like Kapi Pondexter because her usage in this offense is the highest at 23%. So I would definitely want to have exposure to her. But if she's out, we have tons of values here, right? And something that's really worth noting is Courtney Vandersloot. She was in my article last game. She was like a play that I was all over. Kind of one of my must plays on the slate. Had her 100%, and man, she treated me well with a 49.9 FanDuel point game. 26 points, 7 rebounds, 13 assists. She just killed it. She's not typically a high usage player, and she had a 30% usage last game, which is crazy. And if you look at the usage on the season, Courtney Vandersloot has an 18.7% usage. She's typically not a high usage player, so it was very weird. I think that's more of an outlier. And what I basically said in my article is, I think team game theory would go to Allie Quigley. I mean, Allie Quigley is a play that can get you a nice mid-30 fantasy point performance. That's kind of her ceiling. She can get you, a pretty solid performance. I don't think she'll burn you. It's mainly if she can knock down the shots. And in a matchup like this, she can definitely knock down the shots. Just a matter if she's on or not. I could easily see her being a more low-owned play to Courtney Vandersloot for cheaper. And I think Quigley is the better tournament play. The question is, because I know I'm building a lot of lineups, and sometimes I kind of have the issue of not taking as much of a stand. Got to kind of not spread myself too thin, right? But I'm scared to fade Courtney Vandersloot after that big game, right? The question is, how much do I want of her? Do I want to be even with the field? Do I want to be lower than the field? I doubt I'll go overweight because, like I said, I think ownership is going to be super inflated on her. I really do. So she's someone I'm just going to, consider trying to stay away from if I can while I'm building and go to like an Allie Quigley. But if you told me one guard, I can only roster one Chicago guard on this slate, it's going to be Tamara Young, as long as Kapi Pondexter is out. I mean, Tamara Young has a really nice usage. She's, right behind Kapi Pondexter at 21.6% usage. She's someone that has, shoots a lot of field goal attempts. Her field goal attempts this year are at 11.3. She's shooting, below her field goal percentage average on the year. So I expect that to, pump up, basically expect it to increase throughout the season. She's someone I want to buy on right now, especially on FanDuel for 4,300. I love that price tag. I think she's a really good value option that I'm going to have some interest in. She's also 6,200 on DraftKings, another great value play. With Kapi Pondexter out, I think Tamara Young is a really solid value, and she's probably my favorite point per dollar Chicago guard if I had to pick. So yeah, those are mainly the guards I'm looking at. None of the other ones really give me a ton of interest. Mikayla Epes, she just doesn't get minutes, right? A lot of these people who don't get minutes just have to let others kind of maybe take and make mistakes on. Even if they look a little enticing as a contrarian option, it's just they're not going to get the minutes. But moving on to the forwards, we'll talk about Stephanie Dolson. So her and Breland are really interesting. They're two players that can really flash some really big upside when they get going, and the Chicago will kind of go back and forth to them and just really feed them down low. But I think what ends up happening is I think this turns it more to a Breland game. I also like buying more low on Breland because she's cheaper. That kind of makes me more interested in her normally. But I think it's going to be a Breland game. I expect this to be a real up and down type of game. And with it being an up and down type of game, Jessica Breland's like a real energy type player on the board. So she kind of is really scrappy and can get in there and get boards. And she also has a pretty nice jumper. I have interest in going Breland instead. If you told me you can only play one on the slate, Breland or Dolson, I'm going with Breland, but I could see mixing in Dolson and mixing in Breland on your teams. I don't hate, it's not like I hate the play of Dolson, right? But if you're telling me to take a stand, you know, take a stand, Dean. If I'm taking a stand, it's I would have to take it on Breland, you know, if I'm only making one or two rosters. But I would think I'm going to get exposure to both of them on this slate. Just depends on how much it could be. But that's about it. And Imani Boyet, she's shown that she can get some, you know, decent fantasy point games for a cheap price tag, but this is not the right spot for her, in my opinion. Only way she gets any production is if one of these Dolson or Breland gets in foul trouble and then she tears it up, but that's unlikely for that to happen. Moving on, let's head over to the Connecticut-Seattle game, which is a really interesting game, has a lot of options that I kind of want to pay up for, a lot of interesting plays, so we'll talk about it. Let's head over to the Connecticut side of the ball. Really, like, there's like three players on this team that are just kind of like studs. Jasmine Thomas, Alyssa Thomas, and Jonquel Jones. I mean, they have been beasts this year. There are options I'm really, really interested in on this slate. All three are good plays. I think Jasmine Thomas is a good play against Seattle. Jewel Lloyd and Sue Bird, I'm really not worried about their defense. They're not that great at guarding guards. Jasmine Thomas had a career high game her last game, 29 points. So I could see Jasmine Thomas having another good game here. She's one of the few guards that can actually get 40-point fantasy upside. So she's someone that I have interest in for sure for 6,500. I like that price tag. And then Jasmine Thomas, again, she's the second highest on DraftKings for 9,900. Why play Diana Taurasi when you could play Jasmine Thomas for 300 more on DraftKings? It just makes no sense to me, in my opinion. So for me, Jasmine Thomas is someone I'm going to have a ton of interest in. Moving on to the forward. So this is where I really wrestled and went back and forth on. Alyssa Thomas is really good. She has a nice usage on this team. Let me pull up the usage percentage now on this team. Hang on one second. Okay, so Jasmine Thomas and Alyssa Thomas are two of the highest usage players on this team, right? Jasmine Thomas is at 23%. Alyssa Thomas is at 23.3%. Alyssa's the forward and Jasmine is the guard. So we talked about Jasmine, now on to Alyssa. Alyssa, the one thing I love about Alyssa Thomas, and she's someone who's been good to me lately. I've been riding her for a while. She was a lot cheaper than 7,800 on FanDuel, and her price tag keeps going up and up, but for good reason. She's just such a safe option. Someone I'm definitely going to have interest in. I do worry because Seattle has been better against forwards than centers. So I kind of think Jonquel Jones, she's more of the center on this offense. And I kind of think Jonquel Jones could really thrive instead. You know, you look at the last game against Seattle. And hey, Alyssa Thomas had 35.5 fantasy points, which is great, right? Very, very great outing in 32 minutes. But Jonquel Jones, she only played 25 minutes and had 29.5 fantasy points. And the reason why is Jonquel Jones got in serious foul trouble in that game. It was just like right off the bat. And Breanna Stewart was like quoted that she was like doing her best. Like kind of one of the goals of the team was to go after Jonquel Jones and get her in foul trouble. Jonquel Jones is a second year player. She's someone that when she doesn't keep her hands to herself, she can take herself out of the game. But when she's in the game, she can absolutely beast it up. Against a team like Seattle who can struggle on the boards and is struggling mightily against centers, I think I'm going to end up going, I'm going to have exposure to all three of these girls. I'm going to have exposure to Alyssa Thomas. I'm going to have exposure to Jasmine and Jonquel Jones. I think I'm going to go more on Jonquel over Alyssa. It hurts me to say because Alyssa's been good to me, but Alyssa's getting priced up. The one thing that's great about Alyssa too is she has so many different outs, right? She controls the ball. She can shoot a lot, gets rebounds. She assists. She does a lot, but I think Jonquel Jones is going to be the route I go. I'm going to hope she doesn't get in foul trouble for similar price tags. I think she's the one I'm going to have more interest in. Again, it's tough for me to say because the numbers are telling me Jonquel, my heart's telling me Alyssa, but Alyssa Thomas, she has been great this year. I even wrote in my article, I was listening to one of the games, and they said Alyssa's someone who just, like, has modeled her game after LeBron James as much as she can and, like, studies the film of her. So she, you know, just if anyone who's trying to play like LeBron, in fantasy, I want to have, right? So I think all three of these are really good plays in a game against Seattle that I think is going to be super competitive. Some of these games can blow out sometimes, right? And if they blow out, we could lose, say, like the fourth quarter, it's ugly, we lose about 8 to 10 minutes of action. That's 25% of the game that you're losing. That's just a lot to lose. Not like the NBA where you only lose like maybe 6 minutes. If it gets ugly in the NBA, sometimes you can lose the whole fourth quarter if it just becomes a barn burner. I know that the Seattle-Connecticut game will probably not become a barn burner. This will be a game that should be really interesting. Pretty competitive. It might be a lot of fun to watch. So it's a 3 o'clock game, so I would definitely check that one out. I think it should be a fun one to watch. There's other people like Lynette Kaiser. She has a good usage because she was really doing. She's like a high usage bench player, and she had a lot of usage at the start of the year. But they're really just working her back. She's off of a back injury, which those are really frustrating. And she only played. Some of these games just because she has to because of foul trouble, and they really haven't like been working her in properly. So I think she's just going to continue to get low minutes. I wouldn't expect her to come back to her old form, but she's someone to watch. If you scroll back in the game logs and look, when she does get on the court and plays at the second unit, she gets a ton of usage. But this is just not the. Not the right time for her. They're just not working her in properly. So stay away from her. Don't fall into that trap, in my opinion. I didn't talk about some of the Connecticut guards, other ones. There's some other ones to consider. Shakina Strickland, she's more of like a spot-up three-point shooter. She's interesting for 3,800. I think you could go her maybe in a tournament, but, the minutes are pretty consistent there, but there's just not a ton of upside. I think there's better plays at that price tag. And like an Alex Bentley, her too. She's another person that can get you in the high teens for 3,800, but, the minutes are just not enough there. It's just too risky of a play. But, I just figured I'd mention them for you guys. But those are two girls that I'm probably not going to be rostering anyways. But figured I'd mention them for you. Oh, yeah, and Courtney Williams. Courtney Williams, you could play too for 4,800. But again, like, she's just, there's other players I'd rather play in this price tier, just plain and simple. And Courtney Williams on DK, she's at 7,000. There's other people I'd rather play in the price tier. So I can't play everyone, right? I just can't. If Courtney Williams beats me and some of these other guards that I don't expect to have huge games, so be it. Courtney Williams has had really two nice games in a row, so maybe there'll be some ownership on her, and maybe she'll dud and kind of help me out. So, that's about it for the Connecticut side of the ball. Let's move over to Seattle. Looking at Seattle, we are getting Jewel Loyd at a really, really cheap price tag. Cheaper than I thought she'd get to. She was really good to start the year. She was probably overperforming, to be honest. I mean, she was just absolutely smashing. But, that was Brianna Stewart was out a bunch of games. But she's kind of, Stewart has taken some usage from her. But Stewart, like Loyd, still has a really good usage. Been having a good year this year. But basically from my write-up, what I said, I want to read it because it's good. I enjoyed what I wrote there. It said, Jewel Loyd has been struggling recently, but we're getting her at a cheaper for $5,900 and $8,300 on DK. Loyd has been getting lessons from Kobe Bryant. So the question is, do you want exposure to an underpriced high usage player that is ranked fifth in the league in shot attempts? I shouldn't have to answer that for you, but the answer is yes. That's just mainly it, right? We're buying low on a player. That's normally costing like the 6Ks. We've seen her in the 7Ks on FanDuel. So we're buying low on a player that shoots a lot and has a high usage. I just think it's a good opportunity. I think we should go there. And I expect this to be a pretty competitive game. And I think Jewel Loyd will definitely be in the mix a lot in this game. They really put up a lot of production for the team. So I will want exposure to Jewel Loyd. I don't want Sue Bird. On DraftKings, sure, I think you could buy Sue Bird, right? She's 5,300 on FanDuel. There's other players I'd rather roster than her. Sue Bird on DraftKings, though, 7,200, that's a lot more enticing. If you look at Sue Bird, 7,200 next to Clarendon, who I don't mind as having some pretty good upside, but like Courtney Williams, near Christmas, we're near Sykes and Gray. Like I said, I like some of those plays there, but Sue Bird is someone that I think could be contrarian because of this. She's definitely a popular name, so I'm curious if people gravitate to her because she's a UConn player and kind of was talked about a lot about on ESPN when she was in college, right? But Sue Bird, I could see her more on DK because that price tag is cheaper, and you get a 3-point bonus too, and she's someone that just, she jacks up a lot of threes. You know, she's going to shoot up at least, you know, 4 threes a game. So she's someone with the 3-point bonus that always helps out. And, you know, she's one of those players that if she can get going, obviously, from shooting the ball from downtown, she could really put up a massive game. So she's someone I'd rather just sprinkle in on DraftKings. And I'll just probably fade her on FanDuel. And hopefully the other plays that I like at that price tier will work out for me. But that's about it for the guards. Let's head over to the forwards, where we have some interesting options. There's three I'll really talk about. The first one is Breanna Stewart. Breanna Stewart is someone who definitely struggled to start the year, but she's definitely gotten it right lately, really just having some pretty massive games. 39.4, 43.8, 49.5, and 37. Those are her last four FanDuel games. I mean, she has been on a heater. Scoring over 20 real-life points in every game, really just getting, snagging a ton of rebounds. She is someone that I'm definitely scared to fade. Her price tag's getting higher. I'm definitely going to have to get some exposure to her. I don't know where my exposure is going to go on her, but she's someone I haven't really gotten right a ton this season. She's burned me. I've been on other plays at times. I think on FanDuel specifically, if you told me I'm only building one lineup tomorrow, say I'm only building one, you know, last dollar I have to play, I'm playing Brittany Griner over Breanna Stewart for 500 more. Brittany Griner, in my opinion, is the top play on this slate. She's the top play a lot, and for good reason. Her price tag shows it. If you can jam her in, sure. I don't think you need to on a four-game slate. It's not definitely necessary, but I mean, Brittany Griner is just someone who can get you 50, 60 fantasy points, right? She can absolutely dominate. She's one of the few that can get you 50 fantasy points. The upside is huge there in a great matchup. So I would rather play Griner over Stewart if I can only play one team. But again, Stewart is someone who's on a heater, and I've kind of missed the boat on, so maybe I won't be as heavily on her. But that shouldn't mean that you guys aren't as heavily on her. She's just someone that can absolutely smash in this spot, has a really high usage on this team. Puts up a ton of shots, a really talented player. So Breanna Stewart is something to consider, but for me, I'd prefer Brittany Griner for 500 more on FanDuel. On DraftKings, you know, it's a little bit more of a conversation with it being an $800 difference, but I'm sure I'll have exposure to both these players. But the question is, I think I'll have more on Brittany Griner than Stewart if I had to pick, but it's something I'm still obviously working out and tinkering with lineups and whatnot because I'm playing a bunch on the slate. But moving on to other forwards, there's some others to consider on this team on Seattle. You can play a Crystal Langhorne. I think there's other plays that have higher upside. That's the problem. You can play a Isabel Harrison, a Jessica Breland. There's other forwards that do have higher upside, in my opinion. So I kind of struggle to play Langhorne. She can be consistent, though, which sometimes consistency is a good thing. But I can see myself passing on these other forwards, like a Crystal Langhorne. And then we have, where's the other one? Oh, Alicia Clark for only 4K. Have some interest in her on FanDuel. For 4K, it's a pretty cheap tag. I think you could get away with her over there. On DraftKings, it's a little different. Langhorne is 6,800 and Clark is 52. So like 52 on DK seems really appealing too, because there's, in that price tier, there's not a ton to love around there. But these are forwards that I might get exposure to, but I don't know if it's going to happen. They're kind of like probably two plays that might be on the outside looking in. There's just other forwards I think I'd rather have more exposure to on the slate. But moving on to our final game of the slate, we have Atlanta against Phoenix. Atlanta is an interesting team. Sancho Little has been out a bunch of games, but she is back now. That is definitely going to hurt the team. Elizabeth Williams is a good, you know, she's someone that has been a really consistent fantasy point player. Really just hits a lot in the 20s. She's someone that I would have interest in, but she draws a really tough matchup against Brittany Griner, right? I've been riding out this streak with Sancho Little being out, but now she's too high of a price tag for me. I think I might do a full fade on her. I get she can be, you know, have a good performance. She has shown upside in the past couple games, but that was a little out. I just think it's a good fade on Elizabeth Williams, and if she beats me, she beats me, and I'll just move on to another slate because I think Brittany Griner is a really tough matchup for sure. Sancho Little is someone that I doubt I'll end up playing a bunch of. Not a huge fan of her. I need the price tag to go down a little bit. And even like a Damaris Dantas. The problem is with Dantas. Dantas was doing decent with Little back, but nah, she's not gonna have the value there with Little being there. Moving on to the guards, where there are a ton of guards to like on Atlanta. There's just a bunch to play. We have Tiffany Hayes, who you can easily play. She's 6,100 on FanDuel and 8,400 on DraftKings. Probably have more interest in her on DraftKings. Made the All-Star game. She can have some pretty big performances, but I think there's just other plays I'm going to gravitate to. Like, I think I'd rather play Laisha Clarendon. She's just shown more upside. Like, she's someone that can really smash. She's had really two good games. The problem I have with her is I'm wondering if ownership's going to be up there. Like, if you look at her FanDuel game log, and I'm wondering if everyone looks at it and they see, 47.6 and 30.4. If I'm worried about ownership getting up there, which... if that's the case, I could see myself being underweight on her mainly because of that, but she has shown a ton of upside. I really like Brittany Sykes too. Brittany Sykes has been like a really nice, consistent option. She's also flashed some decent upside. She's a rookie. She's started really getting a ton of minutes, and since she's been getting those minutes, I mean, she's been great. It started on June 23rd, 28 minutes, 34 minutes, 33 minutes, 26 minutes, 34 minutes, 32 minutes. That's where she's just been starting to get really consistent minutes, and she's been playing really well. 35.8 fantasy points, 27.8, 31.8, 18.8, 28.8, and 33.6. She is someone that I definitely have some interest in and be considering for sure. I'll pass on the Bria Holmes and some of these other options. I know Bria can flash the upside, but I if I'm going to play any of these, I have a lot of guards that I have interest in earning the value tier. And if I'm going to play any Atlanta guards, it's going to be more of the expensive ones, I think, for me. Moving on to forward. Oh, no, sorry. I already talked about the Atlanta forward. So let's move on to Phoenix, the last team of the slate. We have Brittany Griner. The top play on the slate, in my opinion, from just like a raw point standpoint, I think she will crush in this spot. Brittany Griner, I'll just read my write-up. She should dominate Atlanta on the boards, going up against the second worst team in the league at rebound percentage and team with the fastest pace in the league. And Phoenix is at seventh in pace. So this is definitely a nice pace-up game for Phoenix. Griner's also ranked sixth in the league in rebounds per game, and I expect an easy double bonus for her in the future on DraftKings in this matchup. The question with Griner is, will you have the money to pay for her? And with so many value guards to consider, will you even be able to afford it, right? I think you'll be able to afford it with all the value guards. I think this is a great matchup for Griner and has one of those massive games. You are going to need her. If she does have one of those massive games, you're just going to need her. So I would want to have exposure to her if I'm making a bunch of lineups, so I wouldn't be full fading Brittany Griner. I think that would be a scary spot to be on this slate. So make sure to get some Griner exposure. I'm going to try my best to be overweight because I like her a lot. And just problem is I feel like she'll be a high-owned play, right? She's someone that everyone just looks at the box score and goes, wow, look what she can do. But she is someone that, she can absolutely dominate a slate and you will need her to win. So Griner is my top, my favorite play on this slate. If I had to pick one in this matchup, it's a great spot for her. Moving on to some of the other options. Like, I could see going Camille Little. She had a really bad last game, and I think that's something you can definitely use to your advantage. People see the 2.4 and wonder what happened and went on, but she's someone that has been doing really well in the last, eight games. She just kind of cranks out those 20-point fantasy games, and 5K on the... 5K, I don't really like her a ton on FanDuel as much. I think there's other plays you can go to for a little bit more. But Camille Little for 6K on DraftKings, I definitely have some interest there in looking at her. But yeah, that's about it for the forwards. The last one is the guards, right? The guards on this Phoenix team. I don't get why everyone plays Diana Taurasi. It's probably the name, right? But I'm not a big fan of her. She's 9,600. She's kind of old, and she just doesn't really have a ton of upside. Sure, she gets you, she'll get you 20 fantasy points or so, in like the mid-20s and like low 30s. But like for 9,600, she's a similar play to like a Tiffany Hayes, who I would just rather have instead, right? Who's less money. Jewel Lloyd, similar play to her too. I'd rather just have her cheaper. These other value guards I talked about, like I just think Taurasi's an easy fade, and I think because of the name alone, that could also drive up her ownership. Because some people who are just going to be playing this because they have nothing else to do, they're going to be like, oh, I know the name Diana Taurasi, let me plug her in. I know Brittany Griner, let me plug her in. Just some of these popular names, people might just plug in. So I'm just going to go on a fade of Diana Taurasi and hope it doesn't burn me. And I don't think it will. I don't think she'll be someone... She's someone who could have a good game, but I won't need her to win. I don't think she'll be someone where I need to have her to win the slate. So that's kind of my plan with Taurasi. And then the last... There's a couple other options, like Monique Curry. So she's someone that she just got traded to the Phoenix, and when she kind of gets the minutes and the usage, I mean, she can absolutely smash and just splash from downtown, kind of like Steph. Not totally like Steph, but you get what I'm saying. She's someone that can shoot the ball really well and just kind of rack up points quickly. If you look at her past game logs, she can easily do that. That was when she was the Liberty, and the Liberty were having some issues with injuries and players playing overseas, so she really took advantage of that. And I do just worry about the minutes for Curry. I know Curry has the upside, and if she gets going, it might be harder to take her off the court, but it's a very risky play. But it's just something I wanted to worth noting with her, that she could easily be on the winning team with that. And maybe someone I just get, put her on a couple teams just because. But that's about it for her. And then Danielle Robinson, she's someone, too, that, she's kind of – it just depends who's going to get the minutes between her and Curry, and I think each of them will have the opportunity for a cheap price tag to have a nice game in the, with around 20 fantasy points. And for that price tag, you'll take that and you'll move on. So she's someone else that I think you can consider as a tournament option on this Phoenix team. I don't think I'll play Liliana Mitchell. She was more so thriving the past couple games because of some, injury situations and whatnot. So I'm just not going to mess around with her. And like Alexis Prince, she's someone that's just getting no minutes because she's a rookie. And Stephanie Talbot, another person that, she'll get in the mid 20 minutes sometimes, but sometimes she won't. Just too risky of a play for me. And I think there's better options at that same exact price tier that I'll just take a chance on instead. So, that'll about wrap up the slate, guys. Thanks a lot for joining me to listen about it. Check out my article if you prefer that over the podcast. I mean, if you stayed here and listened, then you obviously enjoyed, I would hope. And let's win some money on this big slate, man. We have massive prize pools. And if you have any questions, hey, give me a follow on Twitter at Travis Mangone. It's TravisMangone. I like answering questions. Always enjoy trying to help you guys out and give you my thoughts as much as I can. But if you ask me a couple, if you ask me right before a lock, it can kind of get difficult, and I'll probably be scrambling for some news and scrambling for my lineup to try and help me out. And I'll obviously tweet out if I get any breaking news on some stuff. So check that out. So again, thanks a lot for joining, guys. Joining the Daily Fantasy Picks podcast. For me, Travis Mangone, I am out, and enjoy your contests.